see the light, touch the light, we're together now. I'm better, so much better now. Look to the skies, give me life, we're together now. We've only just begun, hypnotized by drums until forever comes, you'll find a chasing. Good morning all for you, Ayushi. Ira, you are already our known person, Raj and Kritika.
Yeah.
Yes, thank and you. Welcome to our studio.
Thank you.
This morning we have a special occasion that we can host four students who came to Orbit to do the internship from all four of you are from Symbiosis University, correct?
Yes.
Kritika, where do you internship?
Right now I'm interning at Wellpaper Organization. It's an organization run by Danny and he's working for the Wellpaper Women who are the survivors of tsunami in 2004, and they work on handicraft products, and they make it out of recycled papers and the waste plastics and all. So they make baskets or plates and paper mache, so jewelry and all. Yeah.
And you, Ayushi?
I am working at French Pavilion, mm-hmm. and the first thing that I started working on was creating a guidebook for the visitors and guests, because they want something that is simplified and easy to understand, which was not so easily available. So I'm kind of working on that right now from a perspective of a visitor myself, because mm-hmm. I haven't lived in Oroville before. This is my first time here. So I had a perspective of what I would have liked to know about Oroville before mm-hmm. coming here and while living here. So I think I'm trying to comprehend that into a guidebook. Mm-hmm. And we'll translate it into French and probably Tamil for the 50th anniversary, I think.
Maybe some other languages.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. And you, Raj?
I'm working with the African Pavilion. So I think Chloe is my mentor. I'm doing planning, communication, and designing brochures and flyers for them. Also helping them with the social media. So yes, I mean, it's going good.
Okay. And you, Ira?
I'm working at Oroville Radio, and my mentor is this really cool lady called Miriam. I don't know if you've heard of her. And I help with editing. I take a couple of interviews of the old Orovillians and people who come to visit. And yeah, it's really nice here because I'm given the freedom to create whatever I want, which is like really different. So yeah, I'm really loving it.
Okay, what do you study,
I'm studying mass communication at Bicis Center for Media and Communication.
How come you chose something which is not really related to that?
It's actually like I'm helping Wellpaper with the promotion. So I'm making like ad films, making newsletters for them, and promoting their social media sites and like helping the women around. So it's not totally related, but I really wanted to help them out and live in a place like Oroville.
Hmm. And you, what do you study?
I study, we're all in the same college, Symbiosis Center for Media and Communication, but I want to study advertising, which comes under communication management.
So I'm studying, I want to study advertising too, and I chose Orville Radio because I've worked at a community radio before in Pune, and I really liked working over there, and if I was given the chance to do it again, I would, because it's something I'm really passionate about. So keeping it aside from my studies, this is something I really love doing, so that's why I'm here.
Cool. And you study also?
I'm studying communication management with them, but I'm planning to pursue public relations, mm-hmm. and so yes, that's about it. That's
so international zone comes into place, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Since you all mentioned you are all from Symbiosis University, what kind of university is that? Because as far as I know, it's not a traditional Indian university, and it's also a model which is not really traditional all around the planet, no? So what is Symbiosis?
Symbiosis is an international university for one, and it's a private university. It has got the status of a deemed university by the government of India. And the best part, I think the part that sets Symbiosis unique is that it's spread. It started from Pune city, but now it's over, I think, 4 or 5 cities in India. And we'll all come under the part of the Symbiosis family. And you can do your post-graduation from Symbiosis University. You can do your undergraduate from your Symbiosis University. And there are a host of different disciplines you can study mm-hmm. under the title of Symbiosis University. You can do any course, science, arts, commerce, business, management, photography.
Okay, so before I get confused, so Symbiosis is university, but it's also part of that is also University of Liberal Arts.
So how it goes is there's the main SIU, which is Symbiosis International University, and within that there are the different schools or different universities that have specializations. So there's Symbiosis School of Business Management, Symbiosis School of Media Communication, Liberal Arts, Engineering, Sports Sciences, Photography. So there are about 50 to 52 different such schools that specialize in different topics. So that's also what sets it apart, because there are so many different branches of Symbiosis teaching so many different things that you really can choose what you want to study. So liberal arts is just one of them.
And how come that you end up in Norway? I mean, you could be doing internship anywhere, no?
Yeah.
Kritika.
Yeah, so I read about Oroville like a couple of years ago, but so I was like planning to go like one chance can I get like to come to Oroville. So the couple of years didn't work out, and finally I got a chance from my college that I can go anywhere in the world. So that's why I chose Oroville. I just wanted to see how the culture, how the diversity works over here, how people live here, because it's very different from the rest of the India or rest of the world. Like the whole world is over here. Like people from 50 other countries are living here, and it's very different from everywhere else, so that's why I wanted to just come here and see.
I know, I think because you're friends in Wisconsin, probably somehow
we all came on our own. Yeah. We didn't know that we were coming together and we're going to stay together. It just happened.
Yeah. So Raj has an interesting story as to why he came here.
Yeah, I came here because last summer one of my friends, he interned in Oroville. And he absolutely loved the place, and he was like, if you're going to ever go to Oroville, don't go for a two-day visit or like a tourist. If you want to really experience the spirit of Oroville, you should stay there. So I got an opportunity 1 month. I could have interned anywhere, but I thought that this is my one chance to come to Oroville, stay here and feel the township. So I came to Oroville to do my internship, and because I studied a bit of French before, so I thought I might intern with the French Pavilion.
So I came here because I was going to get an internship in Delhi. All my friends were in Delhi and it was like a really good internship. So it was quite sorted. But then at the last minute, I changed and I decided that I want to come to Oroville instead, because I decided like interning at Delhi, I'll have like plenty of opportunities to intern in like a metropolis, and it'll be like the same experience, you know, but Oroville will be something absolutely different, like what Kritika said. And my sister is an architect, so she's come to Oroville before. So she hasn't stopped talking about it since then. So she's like, oh, you have to check out the Mathi Mandir and this and that and all of that. So then I just had to like one up her over there. So I came here for that too. And yeah.
And your interesting stories?
No, actually, Oroville was like my second option. Like I've heard about Oroville from quite a lot of my close friends. But then I was actually going to Dubrovnik in Croatia. So basically, I also wanted to travel around that place and do an internship there. But then it didn't work out due to some reasons. So then I've heard Ira told me about Oroville, and then a lot of my friends had already told me about it. So I thought might as well just like go and experience that. So I just came. And then African Pavilion gave me an early reply, and it also sounded interesting because I saw their pages, and I mean they had many events, and I thought I could help them with the events. And then again they told me they had problems with the social media thing and the brochures and stuff, so I thought of helping them.
Cool. You are almost in the middle, towards the end actually, because you're all staying for a month, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
What are your impressions on Oroville? What is like strikingly impressive? What is maybe also not so impressive and not so nice?
I think the culture over here is very free, and you know, like people do whatever they want to do. The timings are a bit different from the city life, which I think it'll be very difficult for me to go back and you know switch to my college life. But I think I'm enjoying that, and because, as I said, it's very different from the culture or the lifestyle of the normal people over, like, you know, living across. So that's very impressive. It's like, you know, it's just like everyone's free to do what they want to do. Even the schools over here are so good. Like, they're good and cool. Like, you know, you can do whatever you want to do, and it's just you know, you can change, you can choose your own field, you can choose what work you want to do. So I think that's kind of cool too. And
so
what
you
I don't
you cannot choose outside. I mean,
you do, but there are still, you know, rules and regulations.
Yes, I have rules and regulations.
I think. Yeah, but like, not really. I mean, I found it interesting. Yeah.
Okay, and you are usually.
The thing about Oroville is because there are so many people of different nationalities and cultures living here, you would think that there would be huge chaos. And I think probably somewhere it might be, but they still seem to be living together. And the best part is, if my hometown, I don't choose to live there. I was born there. But for Oroville, people choose to come here and live here. So there must be something about the city which draws people to come and stay here. And they've left their successful lives, their families and everything, and still chose to come to live in Oroville, which is a big deal.
It's so peaceful here, really. Calm and peaceful.
And the thing that kind of bothered me a little about Oroville was a sort of neo-colonialism aspect to it.
Yes.
Because I think that it was supposed to be all people for equal work, but then I see a lot of local people only employed in certain activities, which is very weird to see, because it's not then about the, I think you're kind of losing the little Oroville spirit there. So that's it.
So what are you trying to say, that the Orovillians do think lesser of the village people,
not
give them less opportunities and smaller payments?
Not probably think less of them, but because I think that labor available is cheaper, because no one, and it's kind of, no one would want to come from across the oceans and come to another country to work, probably as a sweeper or something, or to work, I don't know.
See, the mother said that each work is equal.
Exactly, that's what my point, each work is equal, but people don't seem to be doing that so much. It's not practiced, I think.
You have any idea why it's like that?
It could be because when you when you've earned enough abroad or somewhere, you want to come and relax. So I think that's what people might be doing.
Okay. And any other?
No.
Reason?
I don't know. That's what I'm very curious to know, why that happens.
Okay, so what I really like here is that while there is like a system in place for everything, I really like that about this place. Like even in the radio itself, there's like a system for how to save each folder, where to keep the cup after you're done drinking it, where to take the headphones from, where do you keep the keys, and even outside the little station, to even view the Matri Mandir, there's a whole system. So while there is a system and process, I feel like a lot of people do follow it, but you still have freedom within that system. So I think that's like a really great balance that they've got right here. Everywhere else, there's more of like system and rules, but over here, it's balanced. So, and it's like a really good balance. So that's what's really impressive for me. And what was kind of disturbing is, because I've had the chance to interview like a lot of people in just this 1 week, I've come to realize that there's a lot of conflicting opinions within even the people who live in this place. And I feel like, although I haven't witnessed it, I feel like that would be a cause for great discontent and conflict going on around me. So I feel like that's a little, that happens everywhere, I'm aware. But I thought of this, like, yeah, it was surprising.
It was surprising. So you expected that everybody would agree on everything?
I expected there to be one major viewpoint that everybody was working towards. But recently, as I've been interviewing a lot of people, I figured that there are actually two or like three viewpoints. And there's like a little bit of like conflict. So it's, I'm not saying it's abnormal. Or it, of course, it would happen where there are so many people. But it was a little surprising.
So yeah, I mean, since the time I've come here, every day I'm sitting with some different people for lunch and either breakfast, and talking about, like, they tell me about their stories, and like, it's always a good experience to hear about their lives. And like, all the people who are, like, most of the people who come here, they're traveling for 10 months, 11 months, they stay here for 5 days, they volunteer. I mean, learning from them about what they've done and stuff is quite interesting. And also, like, it's quite calm here. There's no, I mean, lesser people, so there's no traffic. Like, we come from a place where there's too much of traffic, so it's quite a good experience. and it's quite calm and quiet here. So, you know, you can just think and read and stuff. And also, something that bothers me is they should just put street lights, you know, at night. You know, the people who come, the people who are new here, if they are traveling at night, then I think the navigation is quite tough.
Especially if your bike is broken down.
Okay, so it's bothering you because there's no street lights at night.
Yeah, they should put some street lights because, I mean,
because there are some.
There are some, but like in the other areas, like only the pavemented road has the street lights, right? So the other small, the kacha roads need some street lights. Mm. I think because it's tough to navigate us at night. You'll find us chasing the sun.
No, I have a tough question for you, or maybe not so. Do you have any idea what is actually Arwell trying to accomplish, achieve, or where he's headed? Have you read maybe the dream or charter?
Yeah. Actually, I'm working with this the spirit of Arwell in the guidebook. So, where it started as an experiment for human unity. And I think it's going pretty good in that direction because I see so many people here living of different age groups, of different nationalities, gender, everything. And the projects that are coming up in Auroville, the one thing I love most about the city of Auroville is the sustainable living that they're trying to adopt in every sphere of their life. And so many projects support the green industries, organic farms, which is something that is how human life was intended to be, I think, to be able to self-sustain, but we have taken an entirely wrong sense of development in the other city life and everything. So that's one thing I think Auroville is doing very good in, and it's progressing in a superb way.
I assume, like, Auroville is supposed to be the city that the earth needs, right? So I really think that in a lot of ways it's living up to that phrase. Like, as she said, like, about sustainability, about acceptance, because I feel like people are really accepting here. Like, from, especially since we've come here, I think we've had open conversations with literally every stranger sitting next to you in a bus, every person you run into at a cafe. So that itself creates, like, a sort of a safe sort of a haven. So I think it's really succeeded in getting that to happen. And I also think it's really what basically she said about sustainability and how so many different projects are going on at the same time, and each of them is fueled by the person's passion who's behind it, and all of them are just building up to something huge. And it'll take a lot of time to realize that's something huge, but it's going at a really fast pace, I feel, because there's never just one night where only one thing is happening. Every night in Auroville, multiple things are happening at multiple places. So that's great.
You are active in international zone. What do you think?
No, I think it's quite good here because, like, even if African Pavilion has, like, a drumming circle night for, like, I mean, there are French people there are Portuguese there are Indians there. I mean, there's a whole lot of people. There are many people from all over the world, and you get to meet and dance with quite a lot of people, and then there are many more activities. That's what I think I second what Ira said. It gives a very positive vibe about this place, I feel. I mean, there's nothing bad that happens here. That's what I feel.
It's just like different communities coming together and making a place to live for everyone, and, you know, sustainability and peace and calmness and quietness. So it's just like, I think it's going good over here.
Okay. Sounds really positive. Yet, Auroville is intentional community, but it's supposed to be also spiritual community. Do you feel that spirituality? That is it expressed somewhere, or you just see, okay, the projects are going on. It's a freedom. It's, you know, like, you have a freedom to express yourself and to start and be passionate about something. What about the spiritual part of life?
I feel like the spirituality is the key driver behind all of these projects. So every person who I've spoken to who's in charge of a project, be it of Sadhana Forest, be it of any of the planting trees, any organization, all of them have a spiritual base, and that's what drives them to complete the project in the best way possible. Yesterday I was talking to Miss Sushmita from Accessible Auroville, and her project is basically trying to make Auroville accessible to all. So she spoke a lot about her project, but when I asked her what motivates her, all of them go back to what Sri Aurobindo said, what the mother said, and how they really inculcate those values and are working endlessly, tirelessly towards those values. So yes, they have like material objectives, like we want to accomplish this for organization, but they're all driven by spirituality and they all have their moral goals as well. So it's all intertwined. It's like complementary.
You do you see it somehow?
I don't think I've experienced like, I mean, so deeply as Ida has, but I haven't seen it as much, on an honest note.
And you?
The first striking thing about Auroville is that there are no places of worship. There are no religious places of worship, but it's about what every person has their own sense of spirituality, and that's what is all centered at around Matri Mandir, right? And I've met some people who've been living here since like 30 years. There's one man I met who's lived here since 1968, and his constant journey has been guided for some search for spirituality, and to have so much dedication to find that one tiny bit of spirituality is amazing. So I think people here do find it.
Cool. That sounds like really nice. Is there anything else you guys would like to add to it?
Yeah, how many interns like us come to Auroville every year, like that you would know of?
No, I don't know. I don't have a clue. I know that architects are number one for sure, because it's also prestige for them. It goes in their CV, and it's a bonus if they did the internship in Auroville even for a year long. For other places, it's like, I don't know, if you work with the solar, the recyclable energy, it's probably quite some. For international zone, I didn't even know that they had an option to do the internship. But in theory, all the projects are supposed to offer some space also for the internship student, the same as for the volunteers.
And do you think like internships enrich the work going on in Auroville? Like, do you think they help boost that work, or do you think it's... like they spend more of their resources teaching the interns rather than getting help?
It's very particular for each case. Okay. Because it's the fact is that the internship students you can differentiate them from volunteers, because volunteers comes either without any education or walks of life, you know, and in most cases they want to volunteer in the spaces they don't know much about. So then each unit or service has to spend time to train them somehow. So with the internship students, and I see also with the architects, they use them to do the petty jobs, you know, to fill up some other stuff. Internship students in most cases can be a useful part of the team.
Can I ask something about Solar Kitchen? So how does it work? The solar kitchen, do they... I just heard it's like the world's biggest functioning solar kitchen, and it was so fascinating.
Panel, yeah. It's huge, yeah. But the model is also in visitor center behind the Dosa corner. Or the principle, how you warm up the thing, and because basically all the food in solar kitchen is cook and steam.
Okay.
From the solar panel.
I love the place, Solar Kitchen. I love the idea of it.
And what is up with the AuroCard thing? Because earlier I heard that, you know, a lot of places just accept AuroCard and they don't accept cash. But these days, like, I see, like, they can accept cash. Only Solar Kitchen doesn't accept cash.
Well, yeah, what do you think? Because you were with me on presentation of Mark Leakes about... the global solve, and there was also a part of conversation was about the economy.
Yeah.
The mother envisaged the cashless economy here, especially there should be cash exchange between our villains. And it's true that in certain places you cannot use the money, you need a card or account, yeah.
So I think that's necessary to maintain the unity of Auroville, because it's one of the ways that you can differentiate, like not differentiate, that's a really strong term, but it's one of the things that unites the Aurovillians and sets them apart from everybody else. So if there was the same system of money for for outsiders and for Aurovillians, I think in a way it could be exploited. So it's better that the Aurovillians have their Auro card.
Even we can subscribe and have in the account. You mean the account?
Yeah, the account. Sorry.
There are some initiatives into fraternal economy or even the cashless economy in all. Yeah, and you were working with Michael, so you might have been talking with him about it. Because you also have Free Store. There used to be
The gift economy.
The gift economy, there used to be a restaurant in Indus Valley where you would contribute for the meal as much you wanted.
Yes. He told me about this, that you go and eat there and each person pays how much they think the value they received.
They stop it because somehow people are not serious.
Yeah, so I think they still practice, but like yesterday we went to Sadhana Forest and they didn't ask any money. They were just like contribution.
Sadhana Forest on Fridays is free. Uh-huh. It's part of the tour.
So, yeah.
You guys think it's possible to have a cashless economy? I mean, like, a shift from capitalism to some other...
I don't think so. I mean...
For the citizens, probably, yes. But for visitors who come, who only have cash as a sort mode of currency, for them it might be very difficult to incorporate into the cashless economy of Oroville.
I think if the shift has to be made, then it'll start by being made at this place, because I don't see any other place heading towards the shift as much as this place does. But so if it had to happen somewhere, it would happen here first, and then everybody else would like kind of follow that example.
It's probably easier to do it in Oroville because the community is smaller.
Yeah.
And everybody has come with a certain conscious.
Yeah.
So it's easier probably to do it in Oroville.
So I think it's not possible to turn this the planet around.
It's too big.
It's tough.
It'll take a lot of time.
We can't say that it's not possible, but it's tough maybe.
It's not what?
It'll take a lot of time. That's it.
See, we've shifted from systems in the past to systems in the future. So it's not like it hasn't happened. It has happened. But the main factors that makes it happen is like a lot of time on your hands.
And acceptance.
Acceptance, mainly social revolution, but...
Most of us have probably grown up with the capitalist economy, so we use that as the base for, or as a frame of reference for every kind of economy that we would probably want to inculcate. So it's very difficult for a person to get away from that mindset and change into something
else. But it's happened before. It's happened in the past, so it can happen again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it can definitely happen again.
Cool, so we are positive. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
The rest of that, and I'm sure that we will see you in Oroville in near future, in a few years after you finish.
Definitely.
Maybe also you will join.
Maybe. That's a nice thought.
Yeah. Thank you so much for interviewing us.
Thank you.